Hi, my name is Hans Peter Meyer, and I'm the host of the Men's Work Podcast, where you'll find interviews with men and with women. You'll find yoga classes, you'll find reflections, you'll find a lot of material to hopefully help you move through the tests that life has handed you: end of marriage, loss of job, marital relationship stress, fatherhood, just being overwhelmed. It's a lot. So listen, if you need to talk, I've got no charge mini coaching sessions at menswork.ca. Enjoy the show. It's nice to see a bunch of new faces here. My name is Hans Peter Meyer, and I am the host of these Men's Work conversations. And tonight I'm joined by Melissa Bloxham, Amsong Trouton, who's with me here, and Brandon Archer. If when you guys speak, you could just say where you're from. We're all BC based, all four of us. And this topic, I don't want to fuck unless I feel your love. That's what it is, right?
Roger.
Was something that Amsong and I came up with as a topic several months ago. We've been talking about men, women, sex, love online for a while, and inviting you to be part of the conversation. And then I record them and add them to the podcast. So if you don't want to be, it's just an audio podcast. So if when you speak, you want to be anonymous, just change your screen name and I'll call you whatever your screen name says. I don't think I have a lot more to say. The format tonight is Melissa will start, then Amsong, and then Brandon. And then we'll open it up to questions or comments from anybody else who's out there. This is like you're in my living room here, so you're going to play by my rules. And I ask you to be respectful and thoughtful in what you have to say. If I think you're inappropriate, I'm just going to mute you, and you and I can talk about that later on. We're not going to talk about it online here, okay? So having said that, let me just see if we have, I think everybody's in here now. Having said that, Melissa, it's over to you, and you can just give us a couple of words about who you are, where you are, and then your take on this topic.
Okay, so basically, the reason why we got on this call in the first place was because I posted a question on my Instagram about how much time, energy, and resources have you invested in learning how to be a better lover. So that's basically what we're going to talk about. I'm in Shuswap, BC. And yeah, so I kind of wanted to pose that question to men and get the perspective, because I think that for women, it's actually quite easy for us to learn about, share, go into that. When I did a YouTube search on how to be a better lover, I had to scroll all the way down to get to like a man talking about it, and he talked about it for 2 minutes. So yeah, I guess that's just the topic today.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amsong, wanna go next? Tell us a bit about yourself and where you're from and what you have to say.
I'm on the West Coast, currently living in the Comox Valley in Comox right now, close to the oceans and the mountains, as that's what really feeds my spirit and has also really supported me in being in a very masculine environment, and yeah, being around men a lot. And I just absolutely love this topic, and I've been really tapping into some more nuances around this, and in the aspect of how easy it is to get lost in thinking that sex is intimacy. And the how dynamic it is we all work this out as, you know, like there's this, I don't want to fuck if I don't feel your love. And yet so often there's this pressure on men to perform and to be of service and to give pleasure. And that jumping into sex may be even faster than they're ready for it, thinking that that's what she wants. And so I really love this opportunity to unpack these pieces and bring in space to welcome conversation. It's like, how do we support each other to really start talking in our coupleship about, and to feel safe about just talking about, do you actually want sex right now? Because there's so often an assumption without knowing. And there's so often still this bias of pursuing sex from a place of porn and still feeling lost in, I need to pleasure her, and therefore going too fast, not even realizing it, or thinking that it is about touching breasts and vagina and yoni and that versus knowing, even understanding that there's a bigger space. And so women, many women don't have an understanding of what their voice is and the beauty of creating allyship in that. So I thought that would be nice to explore tonight.
Okay, thanks a lot, Anson.
Yeah.
Brandon, you're up next. Tell us about yourself and then what your take
is. Yeah, my name's Brandon Archer. I'm a men's relationship coach, and I focus on helping men connect, communicate, and understand women. Been doing this for a few years now, and as a man trying to figure out all these things, relationship and sex, and what it means and how to do it right, air quotes, is it's been a journey. And it's pretty interesting. As we were talking, I'm like, oh man, there's a couple, my two biggest Instagram post likes, the titles were this: men, fuck her soul with your heart and inner beast. That was one. The second one is, men, she doesn't want your cock, she wants your heart. So I think that's going to tie, like, two most liked posts were on those topics. So pretty interesting, because there's an appetite for this discussion, I think.
So my question is, like, where is the appetite? Because I see a lot of, and it's interesting, I find a lot of great stuff on Instagram. A lot of great stuff that now I see men doing, putting out there. But most of the comments are still coming from women.
That is true.
So your question, Melissa, about like, where do we learn this stuff? I mean, I'll try and answer that. You know, most of what I have learned about, well, almost everything I've learned about my own sexuality has been from the women that I've been with. And then after those relationships have ended, then kind of scratching myself going, well, what was that about? And if I'm lucky, having conversations with, you know, one or two other men, but most of my conversations with men are, I'm sorry to say, they're really pretty boring and pretty, I could have had them 30 years ago. It would have been almost the same conversation. You know, I have conversations with Brandon that are quite different. I have conversations with some of the men that I've met through John Wineland's work and David Data's work, which is quite different. But even where it's, and I was talking to Brandon, I was talking to you about it yesterday, Brandon, was so much of what I still see is still around technique as opposed to what I would call the art of this thing. And so I feel like I am just beginning to learn my art as a man with women. And some of that has been by being non-sexual for a long time, or not sexual with women, masturbating, but even dialing that way back and just thinking like what. There was a really interesting question that David Data asked a fellow on a workshop one time, and he said, well, why are you ejaculating? Like what, like why would you why are you ejaculating? And I just thought, what a crazy question is that? Like, you know, and then, and now to me, it's like, that's a really interesting question. Because if I'm just doing my monkey body thing, then yeah, I can get all kinds of technique and I can learn them in all kinds of places. And I can even learn them from coaches and stuff like that. But that's not really what I want to, it's never enough. It's like the technique is never, I was having this conversation about Argentine tango today, actually, where a lot of us guys get, we think that we're going to get what we want by pursuing technique, and we miss this other heart connection, which most of us, like, to me, that's the question. Like, where did you learn to use your heart? Or what, where did you learn to open your heart? Or where did you learn to allow yourself to feel heartbreak and stay there? Mm-hmm. I'll shut up now.
Yeah, I, man, you know, I'm fiery about this topic, Hans. And 1, 2, 3, 4, we got 5 men on this call that I can tell. So I, while I understand what you're saying, that men don't comment on these things, I know the curiosity's there. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the feminine is calling men to this higher level of expectation, and they're having no choice but to listen. More and more women are realizing, hey, like, I have standards, and if man XYZ can't live up to that, I'm okay on my own. So there's it's unfortunate, but men need pain, it seems like, to take action. And I believe the divine feminine is shifting in the universe, if you want to say, and men are like, oh damn, getting left behind here. I better like figure some stuff out.
Yeah, I think a good place to start, and this might sound superficial, but a good place to start would be, how do you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 as a lover? And what are you using to rate yourself? Is it just your technique? Is it what physical cues are you getting from her? Yeah, I guess. And then be really humble about it. Be really humble. Rate yourself and then subtract maybe 1 or 2. and then
at least
go from there. Yeah, so if you aren't
rating how much? 10, I'm interested.
Go ahead.
How would a man rate himself a 10?
I don't know. But if you're rating yourself a 10, then subtract 2 and start from there.
Okay. I'm not even sure that would work myself, but because I think it's different with every...
With that being said, then I think every woman is a new island to explore. So the best way to be a better lover is to go into that experience with the desire to learn how to please her specifically.
Yeah, and I like the word please. There's, you know, that word please, and then I also, what just came to me is, like, you know, then that how present are you to listen? Mm-hmm. And really opening that way, the listening. So and within the listening is how for a man to ask him how safe, not even how, is he checking in with her? Mm-hmm. And having and opening these questions and really, letting go of the fear of talking about sex and talking about needs and wants, and is he encouraging her to have her voice and to go slow and again even slower to be in, like, I think of how many times as someone that's fairly embodied, I get to a place where I'm like, I don't know what I want. Mm-hmm. And that incredible space of just being in it and to be held within it without rushing or needing to fix anything, so that we can find what's next with open curiosity, with checking in physically and energetically and vocally. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's-
I'm curious, in those times when you said you don't know what you want, would you prefer an embodied man lead you in those times?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's such an incredible gift to have a man's full embodied presence, to be able to hold me and listen without making anything wrong and not trying to fix, but that gift of being able to be felt and opened. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So did you just give us your definition of what an embodied man would feel like for you in that moment? Or do you want to elaborate? Like, I think that this is something we use this word embodied, blah, 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 embodied. And sometimes, especially for me, and I think for lots of men, it's like, well, I don't know what that means. You know, so what do you really mean? What does that mean in that moment? Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate?
Yeah.
Or just say it again if you have to.
Yeah, well, I mean, to elaborate is a man that's done his work to feel safe in himself, that is comfortable, that isn't in a space of needing to prove himself or be right and or wrong. It's like really that in he's present in his heart and in his body, in the sense that when he touches, he feels like his hands are connected to his heart, and his cock is connected to his heart. It's like this is the ability, and there it's like where the ego has been taken away, and because there's nothing to prove. So to me, an embodied man is very much not in that place of needing to prove, but is there as a space holder to really listen and to open and to invite. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that. Great definition. And still men are.
I'm going to ask you for the same thing, Melissa. Like what does an embodied man mean to you in that kind of place?
I think Amsong hit it on the head there, because yeah, basically it's a man that is resting in consciousness more than he's thinking about himself and how, you know, like how is he operating or what is he doing. He's more there and like attentive and attuned to you and the environment and keeping you safe, you know, like that's sort of his job, if you want to call it anything. I think just asking yourself the question, how do I know if my woman is safe, is a good place to start. Like, what is she breathing short, like quick? Is she breathing deeply? Am I breathing deeply? That will help her to relax. What sounds do you hear? What other physical cues can you get from her? And then one level deeper than that would be the energy. Like, what does the energy feel like for her, with her, between you and her? I think this is the first step to, yeah, like a profound experience for you and her.
So you talked about, or I like this image of the island explorer.
Mm-hmm.
So is this something that you have more words around? Because we could flesh that out, you know, like, so if every woman is similar in being an island, but is different in how am I, you know, how do I prepare to be a good island explorer?
Exactly as you would if it was land. I think it's like you're curious and you go exploring, and part of I think what holds men back is that they reveal that they don't know everything when they ask a question. So they're revealing a shortcoming, but I think we have to normalize or shift the perspective about it's a sign of strength when a man asks a question, when he's not ashamed to admit that he doesn't know something, you know, like, oh, I could be a better lover. And then he goes on his quest, and at the end of the quest, he's a better lover. Like, that's a real strong man to me. Mm-hmm. So you land on the island, shipwrecked.
Most of us are. Yeah.
And then you just start like getting curious. Like, it's curiosity with a sense of like, I'm gonna be better by the end of this. I'm gonna know everything about this island by the time I'm done. And I'm gonna know the fruits. I'm gonna know the best place to build. You know, like, it's just about getting to know it and not being afraid to show that you don't know about it.
Brandon? What do you think of the island explorer idea?
Yeah, it's good. But what I'm thinking, like, I understand, I can keep up to this conversation, but I've also been the man in a past version of me that would be like, yeah, this sounds good, but what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I have no clue what any of that means. So if I can share a little bit on that, if what I heard, if ladies, you can back this up or say, no, that's wrong, is being that island explorer, being vulnerable to ask the questions of what do you like, that's actually the intimacy that you crave, not the act of sex.
Mm-hmm.
So the performance versus the intimacy. Intimacy trumps the performance. If you had to put it in order, but I have a follow-up. The mm-hmm. performance comes with the intimacy. If a man can focus on heart-to-heart connection versus just like, oh, I've got this new like position I've never tried,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean a lot if there's not heart-to-heart connection. And then again, it's like, if I'm a guy listening to this, my previous version, I'm like, that's cool. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Right? So it's confusing because as a man, if you've not dipped your toe in this arena, because women talk about it so fluidly and you understand what it means and the conversation just flows and we're all like in the corner going, what the hell? So I think it's, you know, what's an embodied man, and you both did beautiful explanations of that. But if I'm a man listening, I'm like, how do I make that happen? Like, how do I become embodied so that I can do all these amazing things?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it's how do I word this? It's like, what's a pillar in an intimate relationship? Oh, you have to be an embodied man. You have to learn to explore the island. That's awesome. How do I build that pillar? Because I don't innately have that, because our society's not set up where men teach men or women teach, like, they make it taboo to ask you what you like. So I think that's such an interesting place to go to. Do you have any experiences with like helping men through that embodiment process?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. I mean, the embodiment practice is so much about learning how to feel your own body, learning how to feel safe in one's own body. And it generally takes doing the deep personal work and exploration of self, diving into to transform the conditioned patterns. It really means showing up and doing your own personal work, to be committed to be that more whole person. So yeah, jumping into doing coaching, doing practices to learn what where you feel scared and what are the stories that are keeping you out of your body. Like, why is it scary to be in your body? So doing the exploration, doing the inner child work, doing the work with your parents to really connect into that deep self-love. And in that, finding the ability to really love another. Because it starts with ourselves. Because only when we feel ourselves can we actually feel somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Melissa?
I think it's like a practice that is lifelong. And also when I was talking about rating yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, like 10 is elusive. You're never going to get there. So it's a goal, but it's not necessarily what is going to occur. You're always going to be getting better at what you're doing. And then you might change partners and then you have to sort of start again or, you know, not start again, but go a little bit backwards. I think it's the best way, the best advice I could give is to just be consistently curious and ask her in the most masculine way that you can, you know, like preface it with, I just want to please you, or I want to make sure that you feel safe. I want to make sure that you're comfortable. So let me know what would make you feel more comfortable right now. What would make it feel sexier right now? Tell you know, like, just don't make it needy or desperate. You know, lay the foundation of your goal. And then she knows that that's what you're working towards. And then just be curious and then take action on her answers, actually. And women are so sensitive. It's like we have rituals of making ourselves feel safe all the time. So we put on our comfortable clothes, or we have a blanket, we have a pillow, we light a candle, we like a nice smell. So those things, if you pay attention to those things, you're already making her feel safe. You're already attuned to her. And that is going to make her feel like, okay, I'm ready to move deeper with you, or that you feel more embodied so I can be more open with you. A woman is in her masculine when she feels unsafe. So when you make her feel safe, then she can be more feminine. And you just keep like constantly sort of tuning to that consistently. I don't know if that makes sense, more sense.
I love it. May I try to translate for the men?
Yes.
Yeah, the embodiment and being in your body and being safe. I would say, running a lot of men's groups and working with men, very few are aware they're not in their body. Even fewer are aware they don't feel safe. If I don't feel in my body and I don't feel safe, I don't know how to generate safety for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, like, it is the inner work. And, you know, I'm going to go all right ahead and say it. Unless you've done your inner work, any man listening, you don't feel safe in your body. You just don't realize it. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to be in your body. You just don't realize it. You're like, what are you talking about? I'm an athlete. I know my body well. I agree. So what we're talking about, this is heart, mind, soul connection, if you want to get a little more spiritual. But this is a real thing. And this, in my experience, is what women are looking for in embodied heart, mind, body connection. That's the safety in yourself. That's the energy you show up with in the bedroom, and they sense it. You as a man can get to a point where you can sense what she needs. Mm-hmm. And the reason you can do that is because you've done your own work, your own feminine energy, your own feminine wounding, and you're in touch with it. So now I show up, and while I'll still ask questions, I can sense a lot of time. She didn't like the way I touched her just then. Oh, she likes that. You'll be able to, you know, you will be able to pay attention to the way she's breathing, the way she's moving, her heart. You feel it beating faster. And it might sound like magic, and it kind of is. But I also know every man is capable of it. If you desire to live this way, you just got to say, I desire to live this way, and find a mentor, find a teacher, find the book, do the work. You can do it. It's not elusive. It's just not something that society has set up really well to access. And again, I said it before, I think women, I know women are calling men up to a higher version of themselves in life and in the bedroom. It's very tied together. So I hope that's a bit of a translation for the guys. It's like, oh, okay. That's what they need.
Yeah. Thanks, Brandon. The only thing I would add to that is, and this goes back to the island, you know, exploring the island thing. We have lots of great examples of exploring islands where we conquered, but we didn't leave much behind. And that's a lot of how I see us as men exploring who our women are. We go in and we see what we like and we try to take it, and we miss a lot of the subtle, beautiful things that are on that island because they're just not, they have no value for us. So one of the things that I, that's been really helpful for me in the last 3 years is just slowing down. So whatever I'm doing, you know, whatever island I find, whatever goal I set for myself, whatever relationship and whatever form, whether it's, you know, someone who I'm attracted to romantically, sexually, or just someone who I'm getting to know, everything goes better for me when I slow down. So even if I did nothing else except for slow down, and there's lots of techniques to help that, you know, meditation, breath work. But just the slowing down makes others more comfortable around me. And they start to open up. And that magic that you talked about, I mean, it feels like magic because we're moving too fast to pay attention to it. But if we slow down, it's like watching time-lapse photography, you know, it looks like magic because you can actually see it happen. But if you slow down enough, you can actually see it happen. And that's my experience with people generally, but women particularly, is the slower I go, the more I get to watch you open and close. And I get to go, oh, that's interesting. You know, when I did that, there was closing. Mm-hmm. Instead of being panicky about it, because I've slowed down now and I'm not in a rush to get to the other side of the island or the lagoon in the middle of the island. Instead, it's like, oh, there's, you know, if I slow down, then something beautiful opens up. I'm just going to ask anybody who, we're about a little over halfway through here now, just ask anybody who wants to ask questions.
to just raise their hand and unmute yourself when I call your name. So in the next few minutes, if you've got a question, just raise your hand, okay? So Brandon, I'm curious about what kind of techniques you've got when you work with men that helped them slow down, that work.
It depends on where they're at in their journey. Two really like ones that produce immediate results are breath work. There's some really, really simple techniques that you can use anytime. They can take 30 seconds and slow you down. Meditation is something I use right away. If a man's a little further along in his journey, we bring in inner child work, because we're using words slow down. We're using words like pay attention to her. But what we're really talking about biologically is nervous system work. That's what's really going on. So the breath work can help drop you from sympathetic to parasympathetic nervous system, and it happens really quick. So we all have trauma, whether you're going to admit it or not, we do. And that affects how we show up. So with breath work, you can drop and you can slow down with just using your breath. Like it feels like magic the first few times you experience it. You're like, how was I just anxious 60 seconds ago and now I feel great? Mm-hmm. So those are imperative tools to have, and very easy to teach and learn.
All right, thank you. Now somebody had their hand up. Was it you, Ashish?
It's Chad.
Chad? Chad, do you want to unmute and ask a question?
Sure, I can a little bit.
Thanks.
Hans, as you know, and I won't go into it because it will derail us entirely. I am not in my body in the least lately. I am all over the map, all kinds of problems. I just want to say, I guess, from my perspective as someone who is completely unmoored right now, but has some basis for understanding of this stuff. I was in a class with Hans. That's how I was able to be fortunate enough to meet him. My experience with this started out from that class. Unfortunately, I didn't really discuss it or describe it with my partner at the time. Turns out she really didn't notice it, didn't get it. And not long after that, things just went south. I will say, when you're explaining this, ladies especially, or even Brandon, when you try to dumb it down for us dudes, you could get it even dumber, honestly. I mean, I it's so antithetical to everything we are taught to think. It's not even funny. I appreciate just now, Brandon, when you said it can be as simple as the breath work, because that helps. Because the second thing, in addition to just not even understanding the language some of the time, where to start and what to do. I honestly, and you said it a lot, and I apologize, I hate the term do the work. I hate it. It doesn't specific. It doesn't tell me anything. It doesn't lead me anywhere. And more importantly, it sounds like it never ends. And frankly, it's fine if it doesn't ever end, but I have to know there's going to be progress somewhere. So I appreciate what Brandon just said about, well, breath work will start you. You will get somewhere initially. There is way more to do, but it's not this never ending process. And especially for me, so my situation in 30 seconds, being 46 and maybe starting new relationships or not having a relationship, all this is daunting enough that honestly today, I don't want one. I don't want to look for one. I don't want to have one because it's too much work. It's too hard. It's too daunting. I failed once after a long time and this has to be simpler. It's a start that we now admit that men don't know it. They aren't taught it. And we need to start there, but we're kind of dense. So but thank you all. Thank you for letting me.
What can we send you away with that's useful then? I would love, if it's okay, Hans, if we send him away with something practical that he could use.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I appreciate the breath work bit. And you mentioned, you know, just find the book even. I mean, if there's a embodiment for this purpose for dummies, that would be great. I mean, I'm a little more versed in just trying to do it for myself, but in terms of then putting it into a relationship and a sexual relationship, like I said, there was some of that in John Weiland's class that I did, and the mistake I made there even was I didn't even discuss it. She probably wanted to know, and I didn't even. I was going to try it out, you know. Yeah. Let me just try. I don't want to admit that I really don't know. So I'll just see what happens. Well, nothing happens.
So are you being really hard on yourself over this?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Can you find some compassion for yourself and realize that you've done the best you can with what you were taught?
Hopefully.
Well, I'm going to just affirm for you, you've done the best you possibly can. You didn't do anything wrong. You were given a certain set of tools and you used them to the best of your ability. That's not your fault. And you have an opportunity now. You have a space in your life to start the relationship with yourself that we were never taught to do as men. This is the most beautiful time in your life. And I know it may not feel like it right now, but it is.
Thank you, Brandon. I would say that the first island that I needed to explore after every one of my four significant relationships was the island of myself. And that was probably the hardest island to explore. And every time I've done it, I've learned something new and it's opened up some really beautiful things, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna second what Brandon said and say, and everything that, you know, has been said about women as this island that we explore. I think the first place that I need to always explore is the island of myself. And, I think Aum Song said that about, I mean, it was a cliche for years. It was like, well, you have to learn to love yourself. Well, what the fuck does that mean? Mm-hmm. And, I actually really only got that, I don't know, probably in this last year was at one point I went, wow, I actually love the man I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got there, then when I was relating to the woman who I love, then things just got a lot easier. I mean, it wasn't like things happened immediately, but over time, she just started to open. And then because I was so in love with myself, because I wasn't looking to her to bring me all the stuff. I recognized that I could do so much of it for myself and I was actually enjoying it. Then she started to really relax and open in ways. And I got to see part of that island that I had never seen before. So I know you're going through a really hard time right now, Chad. And we learned a lot of things in those 5 or 6 months with John Weiland. And all that stuff's worth revisiting for yourself.
And yeah, I like the way you said that, Hans, exploring your own island. That is the basis. That's it. And the cliche of love yourself, you and I have talked a lot. It's a dance that you're like, it sounds great, but what does that even mean? And you know what I'll say is get a mentor. It's tricky to figure out. Get a mentor because they can accelerate the process. And the interesting thing is as you explore your own island and you learn yourself inside and out, like you didn't know was possible, when you show up in the bedroom, in a relationship, you are now not worried about what she thinks. Meaning I'm not attached to if I upset her because it doesn't mean anything about me anymore because I don't need her love. I want her love. I provide all the love I need internally. And this sounds, trust me, I get how weird this sounds, but I've lived it too. And when you get to that point, now you can still hurt my feelings, but I know I'm okay. So if I make a air quotes mistake in the bedroom, I'm like, okay. And I just like pause, take a breath and go a different direction with maybe what's happening as far as technique or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge us, you guys, challenge us. Bring the hard ones.
Leaf.
All right, hi. Okay, so I am just plugging into this for the first time, and Hans, it's great to be here. I'm telling you as well. And I think I might be just kind of missing something sort of foundational in the conversation. And what I'm trying to understand here is, like, we're talking about like the container of relationship and the act of like physical intimacy within the relationship. And what I'm wondering is like, are we like kind of specifically talking about how do I show up in the bedroom in a physical intimacy, sexual intimacy space that creates desire by my partner to dive in with me, to explore with me? Are we like just only looking at that one part of the physical and sexual intimacy inside a relationship? Because if so, then I'll ask a question on that, as opposed to like this bigger container of like intimacy within a relationship.
Melissa?
I think it's both. So ask away, whichever one you want.
Okay. So I'm a little bit curious, I suppose, about the idea of casting, of like, when I say casting, I mean like creating this like story of this woman kind of being this island that's lying there and this man like appearing as this intrepid adventurer who's going to like, you know, walk on this island and like discover things. And so, I mean, for me, just my reflection is like, when I'm going to be in a bedroom in a intimate space with somebody, it's like if there's an island, there's two islands. If there's an explorer, there's two explorers. You know, if there's a question about what do you want, it's a question about what do I want. Like it's so, you know, it's like a dance. It's like we're two people showing up here. And so I guess my question about that would be like when I'm trying to foster intimacy in a connection, like I'm never taking on the burden of anything. I'm always looking for collaboration. And I'm wondering how you would frame that, how you would talk about the communication or what your thoughts might be about framing it in that way, like how you would connect with a partner in that way and how you would, I'm just curious to hear what you might say about that.
Who's going first?
You want to start, Melissa?
I think that maybe you might find some answers in David Data's work, and he talks about that being like a second stage experience in love, where you are collaborating and like you're not as polarized, I guess. If you want to create intimacy and you want it to be extremely polarized, I wouldn't look at it as necessarily an equal collaboration. I would look at it as like roles that you play that are more innate to who you are. So I guess that's where masculine and feminine become like the words that I use mostly. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but you might want to look into just the difference between maybe like second stage and third stage when it comes to love and ravishment.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar, Leaf, and I don't know if you are, but you know, Veda's not making a judgment about what he calls broad brush first, second, and third stage approaches to love and relationship and sex. But the first would be characterized by, it's all about me. You know, how much money can I make? How much sex can I have? The second stage is when we start recognizing that we are in relationship with other people and that things are better for all of us. If, to put it crudely, you know, if she comes and I come, like, it's not just about me having lots of orgasms, it's about both of us. And then third stage, the way I understand that is, it's not even about my interest, it's about how am I serving love in these places. And that's where his ideas, which John Wineland teaches as well, about, you know, creating that masculine space that holds the space for the feminine energy. And that could be either partner. I mean, you know, it could be the woman could be the one holding the masculine space, typically not, but whoever is the one who's more identified in that directional creating safety kind of thing holds the space for the other partner, who would be called in this terminology the feminine, to start to flow, mm-hmm, and start to move. So, you know, my response to your how I understood your question is, you know I would think you'd always want to be there with somebody who wants to be with you, and both of you are there to create an experience together. But creating more polarity, in other words, one of you moving towards your pole on the masculine or the feminine, whichever one it is, and the other moving to the other pole, starts to take you a lot deeper than just a shared or 50-50 or equal kind of experience. And in that, we play different roles. And it's not about, to some extent, it's about sacrificing ideas about what we think about fair and what's mine and what's yours. And it just becomes about, what is the deepest art that we can create in this moment together, in our own, by being really different, by one of us being much more directional and one of us being much more flowy and directed.
Able to surrender,
yeah.
Does that answer your question,
Lee? Yeah, I think so. It gives me some interesting stuff to mull over. It's like languaging, and I'm really like, yeah, I get pretty caught up in language and words and metaphor. And so just the metaphor that you were using before was really not resonating for me. So it's nice to hear you, say, you know, of course, there's other metaphors to be used as well, depending on how you're showing up as you are. Thank you.
Thanks, Leif, and thanks for being here, and thanks for putting it out there.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have a question? We've got about 5 minutes left. And if you've got a question that takes longer, I'm happy to sit here for a little bit longer. And if not, I'm going to give Melissa the last word, but we'll start with Brandon, and then I'll pass it over to Amsong, and then it's yours, Melissa. So Brandon, do you have any more thoughts on this or things to add?
I think I'd invite men to, and I'd love it if the women would either concur with this or poke holes in it. I think it's important to understand that the masculine generally leads, generally sets the tone for what's going on. It does not mean you ignore what the woman's saying. It does not mean you tell her exactly what to do. It means you are in tune with yourself so that you're comfortable to lead it and be okay if she says, no, I don't want that. I think it's really important to realize it's not a 50-50. It's like, this is my role and this is your role. And we get very caught up in society about equality. And straight up, women are amazing and beautiful creatures. And so are men. And it's okay to lead. It's okay to lead. And if a man can get comfortable with that, these conversations don't even need to happen. Because you just know what needs to happen. And that might sound very like unattainable, but I'm telling you it is. I'm telling you, men get in their heads and we're trying to like, give me the formula and I'll do the formula. This is not about the formula. This is getting out of your head and into your heart and into your body. And I understand that might be confusing, but that is the way.
Thanks. Ashish, did you have a question?
Hey, Hans. No, I just concurred with what Brandon there was saying, especially about the masculine leading, because I saw that and felt that in my previous relationship. Mm-hmm. And my ex, she would always ask me this question. Like, she would be like, oh, why do I get to be the masculine even though I'm the feminine? And I was in the space there where I just graduated and I was trying to find a job and I was like not confident about myself. So I was not owning my space, I was not showing up consistently. And because I wasn't feeling safe, she had to pick up my responsibilities and my role. And that was taking her away from her feminine side. Mm-hmm. It was cutting her off. And you know, she wasn't having a good time or she wasn't loving who she was. So yeah, that's what I wanted to add, like men being safe, you know, with who they are, with what they have, wherever they may be in life, and just being happy with themselves. And that's the first step. Like, do I accept myself as is in this moment or not? If I do not, then I'll never be happy and people around me will just project that onto me. And then, you know, my environment will not be happy and I'll not attract the people that I want to be with, or I will not enjoy abundance the way it needs to be enjoyed. So yeah, I just wanted to share that thought.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Hans.
Amsong?
Yeah, thank you. That was a perfect segue for closing. I think we all crave intimacy. And I really see this conversation here as exploring how do we really open to intimacy. And that's part of the gift of the masculine, is being able to hold the feminine that really allows that. The unfolding and the opening and the surrender, and so that we can know intimacy together and to feel safe together. And just really enjoying having this conversation and having these opportunities to feel safe in self, and to feel even in those moments of not feeling safe. I invite men to take a moment and to breathe and to ask the question, and to, again, as we kind of talked about last time, like open to touch and exploring touch and watching how your partner responds from that place of breathing and being present. And be gentle on yourself. You know, that's the most important thing. We get so caught up on this needing to perform thing and doing it right that it creates stress, and that's when we dissociate and leave our body. So it's this real, this opportunity to learn how to be gentle. And again, coming back to loving ourselves, which, you know, that can be this foreign thing out here. And then just, so it's just like constantly coming back to self, which I realize is another thing of like, what is that? And in coming back to self, that means coming back to your breath. Coming back into the breath. Like, that's such a perfect, a simple step to come into, to go, who am I? When we're so much out here so often, and then to come back into here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't be afraid to get a mentor, as you say, Brandon. It's like we all need each other and we all need guidance in this journey of learning to find our voice and our body and our safety.
Yeah. Thank you. Melissa, and I will have some, I'll actually have a really short practice after Melissa speaks. So.
Okay, then I'll make it short. I guess I just want to remind men, which I think Aung San and Brandon both did, to to use the opening and closing of your woman or the experience with a woman as just a gauge, not like you're a good person or a bad person. It's like your gas gauge. It's full, it's empty. It's not a good or bad thing. You just fill it up, or you know, you just use it as a gauge as to what it is, and make it even fun opening and closing, you know, like you don't do it purposely to like close her, but when she's closed, it can be fun to recognize that. It can be like, oh, oopsie, you know, and then start working on opening her. And I think Hans, that's what you mean also with like slowing down. When you're slowing down, you get to see like the opening and closing, and that can be a very fun and intimate experience in the bedroom and outside of the bedroom.
Thank you. So what I'd like you, everybody to do is just sit up as straight as you can, however you are, and really pay attention to your spine being firm, but also relaxed. Like you're not trying to be stiff spine, as if you have this nice straight line from the base of your tailbone all the way up the back of your neck and up the crown of your head. And then in the yogic way of looking at things, your right hand, which is connected to your left hemisphere, placing your right hand, the masculine is about creating safe spaces. So now putting that on your heart. And your left hand is an aspect of your feminine energy. And I'm speaking to the men here. For the women, it would actually be the exact opposite. So if you're a woman, you're going to put your left hand on your heart. If you're a man, you're going to put your left hand on your heart. If you're a woman, you're going to put your right hand on your heart. And then you're going to put the other hand on your groin, on your genitals. Okay, so for the men, what you're doing is you are holding your heart with your feminine, and you're holding your genitals with your hand. And for the women, you're holding your, it's the other way around. And now I just want you to close your eyes and imagine this energy moving from that genital area, that second chakra, that creative, that part of you that creates relationships, creates life, creates orgasms, creates sexual desire, and your heart, which holds relationships, which nourishes them, and which is the place for the feminine part of yourself, whether you're a man or a woman, however you're identified. That's the part of yourself that wants to flow and wants to be held, wants to be seen, recognized. And your genitals are that part that wants to engage in that sexual way. So now just let that, as you breathe through your nose, softening the top of your throat so that you can almost, if you're snoring and you're breathing down through the central channel, down into your belly, letting your belly get nice and full, feeling it pressing down into your genitals, into your hand down there. And then as you release the breath, you release it up the front of your body, softening your belly, softening your heart, feeling that softness with your hand up through your throat, just doing a few cycles of that. I'm going to time this, so we're going to do this for 3 minutes. So just continue breathing with your eyes closed, your hands feeling these energy centers, which can be so confusing and so beautiful. And right now you're just holding space for yourself to feel your own body. And if you still feel like you're breathing too fast, then try to inhale for the count of 10 and hold for the count of 10 and then exhale for the count of 10. Visualizing the energy moving from your hands, from your heart through your hands, through your arm, down the other arm and down into your genitals and back. Connecting these two places. Letting your breath slow down. And maybe you don't feel anything, and maybe you do. The important thing is to practice. Find some way of slowing your body down and bringing your mind's attention to these parts of your body that you may not have attended to. All of us live in a world that is very masculine oriented, directional, deadlines, tasks. It's really hard to slow down, to feel our own feminine energy, or to let others feel theirs. Take a deep breath in, hold that breath. And relax the breath and slowly open your eyes. And I'm just gonna say thank you to Melissa for opening tonight. Thank you for Amsong and Brandon for being here. And thank you for all of you for being here and for those of you who brought questions. So we host this discussion, sometimes different people, every month. And otherwise, pretty much every Wednesday, there is an open conversation about men's work. And I hope to see you back here again. If you have questions for me, if you want to contact people, just send me an email or send me a message. Good night.
Good night.